Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Brian Finney. I'm the president and CEO of Democracy Live! And it's a great honor to be here today with the California Council of the Blind. For today, what we're going to be speaking about is accessible remote voting. And of course, we all know how important the ability to vote privately and independently is. And thanks in large part to the leadership of voters in California and specifically the California Council of the Blind and advocates within California. Over the last number of years, California has once again been a leader and an innovator in providing accessibility, not just in California, but really around the country for voters with disabilities who may not be able to see or hold or mark a paper ballot to be able to have access to an independent and accessible ballot at home. And that's through a new technology, relatively new technology, I should say. It's been around now for 3 or 4 years in California to allow for voters to be able to access their ballot through a web portal. And Democracy Live! Is the largest provider of that type of technology around the country. We started actually in California providing this accessible absentee balloting tool. And now I think we're in close to 26 states. Providing this type of technology to around 2,500 jurisdictions around the country. And again, that's a testament to the leadership and the kind of the pioneering spirit of California advocates to advocate to have equal access to a ballot, of course, both in the polling place, but also at home. And so it's a technology that has been developed now over a number of years. The way that the technology works, for those of you that have not had an opportunity to use it, you're able to request an accessible absentee ballot by contacting your local elections authority, and they would send you a link. Now, Democracy Live!, we support, I think, 36, 37 counties in California, but even if you're not in a county that uses Democracy Live!, there are other providers that do the same thing. It is now a law, again, based on your efforts at the California Council of the Blind and other advocates. They passed a law a number of years ago to provide equal access to what they call a remote accessible vote by mail solution, otherwise known as an RAVBM solution. And so that tool is available to every jurisdiction. I think you have 67 counties in California. And so no matter where you are in this important federal election for this year in 2022 and beyond, you can request an accessible ballot and be able to vote at home. Now, there's some different features and functionality in terms of how the RAVBM systems are being deployed around the country. And we're going to get into that as well just a little bit. But again, I really want to applaud and celebrate the leadership from California, because once again, you all have led the country in terms of making equal access to the ballot available. And many, many states have now followed your lead. Just for technical background, the way that the tool actually works is that it's hosted in a cloud environment. So really what we call OmniBallot is a balloting portal, right? So it's a web-based balloting portal, been fully vetted for all the different browsers and screen readers and operating systems and devices that voters use. And once you are sent a link by your local elections authority, or hopefully they also put the link on their local website. So if you do want to have access to your ballot without even putting in the request, you can do that as well by clicking on the link. And again, hopefully your local elections authority puts it on their front page. It should say something like, to access your accessible vote by mail ballot, please click here. And that'll bring you to a link, which then brings you to this balloting portal. And we've had a great opportunity to be able to have it tested and vetted by a number of your members from the California Council of the Blind. They've been extremely supportive, giving us really strong feedback and really important ways of making even more and more accessible, you know, every year moving forward. And so what'll end up happening is that you click on the link, you go to this balloting portal, you're able to put in your first, last date of birth, and then that'll bring you to your ballot. And for those of you that have voted in a polling place on those accessible machines in the polling place, the experience is very similar to what you have in the polling place. You'll be able to use your screen reader. Again, whatever screen reader, operating system, browser, device that you're using, you should be able to log in, first, last date of birth, get your ballot. And much like you'd have in the polling place, it would read the ballot back to you. You're able to select your candidates, your selections for the different contests on your specific ballot. Much like the polling place accessible machines, it'll give you a summary of how you you selected on your device at home. And then at that point, and this is where we're going to be talking about kind of the future opportunities and what we really want to try to advocate for in California, because as of now, you'll end up having to still print out the ballot. So we're kind of halfway there, right? You can't score the touchdown without getting, you know, halfway down the field. And so we're halfway down the field heading for the touchdown here. The ultimate touchdown is to be able to electronically submit your ballot, much like the military can today in California, much like overseas voters can today in California. They can electronically return a ballot. But at this point, it's limited to only military and overseas. And even with that, it's still they're still stuck with a fax is the only method of return for electronic return, even for the military and overseas. And so we'll get into that just a little bit in terms of some of the legislation that is moving forward through the California legislature right now. But at a high level currently today, and hopefully for many of you that are listening to this conversation, you'll be able to use the tool in this coming primary election in California. I think you have one going on here in the next couple of weeks. It'll start. And then you'll be able to get your ballot, review it, mark it independently. But again, we all know that it's not great. You'll have to print off the ballot, but at least you won't have to ask somebody to vote or mark the ballot for you. And so it is a significant step there in California. So with that, I think I'm going to stop. I'm going to pause. I want to thank everybody again for the invitation to be able to speak and answer any questions that anybody has right now. And then we'll talk about, you know, future facing opportunities in California and kind of what other states are doing around the country. Do we have any current questions right now? Looks like maybe Robert has a question.
Okay, I had to unmute. You guys are wonderful. I thank you on behalf of myself, and I don't dare speak for all of the blind of California or the nation, but thank God you're there. I wanted to ask about, I believe Oregon has vote by mail totally. How do blind guys do it in Oregon? Thank you.
Right, and that's a great, great question, Robert. Thank you. I'm up here in Seattle, Washington, and we also are at 100% a vote by mail. And in fact, the catalyst for this technology was back in 2008. Democracy Live! Got started back then. And when the state went to 100% vote by mail, it was great for all of us, you know, who could see the ballot, right? And hold a pen and mark the ballot. But for, and I think it was Rutgers University who came out last year saying that over 15% of voters have a disability where they may not be able to mark a paper ballot independently. And so starting back in 2008, we were able to work with the University of Washington Center for Technology and Disabilities. Some of you may know Debbie Cook,
yes.
who was wonderful in the very beginning. She and our lead developer, we got him out of the University of Washington back in 2007, and I still, you know, the story of my lead developer and Debbie sitting kind of side by side with Debbie giving real world feedback as the developer was coding the application. You know, that back and forth collaboration and cooperation, I think was critical back then, and it continues to be to this day. And so we developed the technology to allow voters who can't mark a paper ballot independently and privately. And that's how they do it up here in Washington, down in Oregon. Colorado now has 100% vote by mail. And you see that coming all around the country, in large part because of COVID. You know, I think we had close to 90 million voters that were voting a vote by mail ballot around the country. But again, as Rutgers University mentioned, you know, there's 15% of voters that can't vote on that conventional paper ballot. And that's really where these emerging technologies come into play. So, Robert, I don't know if that helps answer your question.
Yes, it does. But could you discuss the procedure? Did they have to print out their ballot the way you describe in California, right? The blind guys? I'm more, you know, that's what I know about.
Yep. So, yes, in Washington, Oregon, California, for now, voters have to print off the ballot. So they access this balloting portal. They're able to mark the ballot. Now, that being said, there are more and more states around the country that are allowing the electronic return of the ballot. Democracy Live! First pioneered the electronic return of the ballot through this portal up here in Seattle, up here in King County. And since then, we've had, that was back in 2019, I think 300 jurisdictions around the country and about 6 or 7 states now allow for electronic return of the ballot using this portal. And so from that growth, from basically zero, two and a half years ago to, you know, 6 or 7 states, I think we're starting to see growing awareness that having to print off the ballot only gets us halfway toward true independence and in privacy.
It's on the 50-yard line, as you said. Thank you.
Yep.
And
you're there.
And Phil has a question.
Good.
Yes, hi there. This printed ballot, is it actually counted, or is I was told that, and I don't know if it's true or not, that these ballots are, once we print them, that they're actually transcribed onto a counted form. Is that true?
Yeah, Phil, that's a great question. It is true. So there's a couple of ways of doing that, and that's not just true for voters with disabilities in California, but currently the military, overseas voters, when they send their ballot back by a fax machine or mail it back in, you know, when you print it out, you're printing it out on your local copy paper, assuming that you have a printer. Many of the members of the California Council of the Blind have reminded me that many voters who happen to be blind may not have a printer, right? Which is a really big challenge, obviously. But if you do have a printer, you're printing it off on standard copy paper. So when the ballots come back into the local jurisdiction, that kind of flimsy paper that we all have at home, it can't be read or tabulated on the big machines, on those scanners. So what ends up happening typically is that the ballot comes back in. It could be the military overseas or your local domestic voters who may have a disability who are printing it out, mailing it back in. And then you have a team of people at the local elections office who will transcribe like you describe it. Many elections officials will call it duplication, ballot duplication. They'll take your ballot and they'll have maybe a Republican, Democrat or two people there that are basically transcribing or duplicating the ballot onto a tabulatable ballot before it gets scanned into the machine for tabulation. Now, electronic return eliminates that need for manual duplication. And there's some other technologies that are out there as well, but for now, for the most part, those ballots do have to be duplicated.
Okay, well, I guess we still have some work to do then. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Andrea has a question.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Gosh, I'm glad to be here because I find the whole idea of somebody tabulating my ballot a little scary. I mean, I think that it's a good for right now. It's what we have, but there's always chance for error and stuff. I'm kind of old school. I like to go and actually use the machine and submit my ballot in person. And I know that I believe in your state of Washington, because my sister lives there, you can't do that anymore. That's my understanding, is you guys have completely eliminated in-person voting. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think she told me, or that was what she yep. knew. I'm hoping that won't happen here, because I've always taken a lot of pleasure, especially since I've been able to do it myself. Completely independently, walk in, you know, with some assistance getting on the machine, and I can sit down and submit my ballot and leave. And I know you probably have no way to know what'll happen in California, but I really kind of hope that that will continue for those of us who like to go and do it ourselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. So that's in Washington. For the most part, there are each county has a handful of those accessible machines, but there are no polling places per se. There might be one location or maybe a couple of locations in one county, but for the most part, everybody else is voting by mail. What they found was that when you had vote by mail available, more and more people started choosing that option, and so they had 80% of the people, 85% of the people voting at home. And then it didn't make a lot of sense to continue all of those different sure. polling places.
No, that makes, and especially during COVID, I mean, that made sense to not go. I actually did go during COVID because I chose to. I don't have a lot of help available to me here. And I'm one of those people, I have a printer, but it doesn't work. Right. The problem with printers is that you don't use them enough. The ink runs out and then you don't know whether or not you've got anything printing. So, I have an unreliable printer, so I just went and did it and didn't worry about it too much. But I was really surprised to find out that in your state that was totally gone. So I don't know. I'm just kind of hoping, but I'm really glad that we are developing some options. I think that's wonderful.
And Bob Goss asked a question.
I wasn't, but my blood pressure is going up and I'm on your side. Totally do not eliminate the talking machines. We have voting centers in LA County. You can go anywhere and vote. If I do go vote with a voting machine. I told my students when I was teaching government in 2000, for the first time in my history, I got to vote privately. I didn't have a voter assistant. My wife, one time, a blind woman, also had a reader who said, "You've just voted. I won't give the party." You know, and she, what are you talking about? I'm just kidding. No, I would have thrown her in jail. Nobody touches my vote. And the polls, yes, they break the machines. We know the problems. But please, in legislation, I don't know if Jeff Tom's listening. He's not here, but he should be. Maybe he's busy. Don't take the polls away. And our registrar of voters is very strong. We've had them demonstrated at our chapter. My president is the host here, and we can't lose that. But if I have a choice, of course, as I get older, I'll use a computer. But please don't take the polling talking machines away, albeit they're sometimes imperfect. Thank you.
And Phil has a question.
Yeah, the last two elections, my wife and I used the paper where we printed our ballot. And actually, the reason that before that, we'd always gone in person and used the talking voting machines, which we thought were awesome. However, the last time we used it, there was a problem with the machine, and the poll workers were really helpful, and they went over, and I finished voting, and then my wife went up to vote, and they couldn't get the machine to work, and the poll worker finally got it working, and at that point I was done voting. He came over to me and said, "Okay, it's working now. Your wife is voting. I can see her screen is full now." And I said, "Wait a minute, from here you can see her screen?" I said, "You know, we've got a problem here. She is not voting privately then." So anyway, I just wanted to mention that issue sometimes we are not really voting privately, even though we think we are.
Yeah, this is Brian, and I'll just say that absolutely the intent here is to provide as many options as you want. For those that want to vote in the polling place, you should absolutely have that capability and the availability of a working machine that's set up, tested, and ready to go, or for voters for a lot of different reasons who can't make it to the polling place and want to vote at home, they should also have that option. So this is just all about options. Democracy Live, we certainly don't advocate removing any of the options at all, especially the polling place. In fact, we happen to partner with Microsoft and Dell Computer and put in a, we actually do that as well in a number of states. So our intent is, you know, your ballot anytime, anywhere that you want to vote, just like everybody else. Now with that, we have a handful of minutes here left. I will talk about kind of what's happening there in California and also some disturbing things that we're starting to hear around the country. And it's just a kind of a warning shot to make sure that when these RAVBM systems are deployed, even if it's the halfway measure of where you're still printing it out, for those of you that want or can, we encourage you to try to use it. There are a handful of states in the last couple of weeks that I've been told directly by the states that they are no longer going to provide an accessible absentee ballot or vote by mail ballot because of a lack of use by voters in those states. And so they didn't feel that it was worth it to provide the technology. So, given that this is an upcoming, important election year, of course, every election is important. We would just encourage you, for those of you that are able to or desirous to use the tool. I mean, of course, you vote in the polling place as well. But we want to, raise the level of usage and demand. So when like what's happening right now in the state of California, when they're looking at passing legislation, and we'll speak to that in just a couple seconds here, looking at passing legislation to allow for the full electronic return, when we cross the end zone, we score the touchdown by getting full electronic return to take place, that'll be in part because there's been a growing demand and growing usage of the current system, that there are voters out there that are desiring to vote at home independently and privately. So I would encourage you, if you haven't used the tool before, to go ahead and try to use it this year, if you're so inclined. And then that'll help build the momentum toward adding on the next module, right? Which is really all it is. It's a simple flip of the switch. And the way that works is that a voter will be able to access their ballot, mark it. And then if you want, it's still your option. You can print out the ballot, or you could electronically return the ballot. And what that does, when you hit the electronic return option, that issue of manual duplication that we discussed earlier on the call, where somebody else is kind of marking the ballot for you, that goes away. Because when you hit electronic return, what'll end up happening is that at the local elections office, they'll print out a fully tabulatable ballot with your selections on there. And so there is no manual duplication. There are no privacy issues. One of the things that happens today as well, especially for voters that have to return the ballot by fax or manually, even through the mail sometimes, is that you have your signature there, but you also have the ballot. And so the privacy is taken away from you. And so electronic return does a couple of things. Well, I guess three things. It allows you to vote completely independently and privately, but it also maintains the privacy of your ballot. And then finally, it eliminates somebody else at the elections office kind of hand marking and duplicating your ballot. So electronic return is absolutely the future. It's being done right now in hundreds of jurisdictions around the country. It's been the application that I'm speaking about, Democracy Live, at least, has been vetted and reviewed by federal agencies, by independent security experts. It's constantly monitored 24/7 and, it's never been compromised. But what we have seen is that when it's been deployed, we have the snowball effect of more and more people voting independently and privately, which is the ultimate goal.
Brian, this is Steve. I have a question. I know, or my understanding is anyway, LA County here where I live is using, somebody else to do their, RABVM stuff. Is there a list on your website of jurisdictions where you guys are in California right now? I'd be curious to, you know, check one of our members and see how it's going for them when it's deployed.
Yeah, you bet. You know, just, you know, we have San Francisco and Alameda and San Mateo and 35, you know, Riverside and San Bernardino. And I can list, you know,
whole okay, time. Well, if they're on your website, yeah, I didn't know. I knew about Northern California. I didn't know about San Bernardino and Riverside. So that's great. I'd like to go up there and check that out. Thank you.
And we use here in Fresno as well.
Yep. Fresno is one of ours. Yep. Live in Fresno. And I'll just, I don't know how much time we have left. If leadership here wants me to go over or not, but there is a bill.
Go for it. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that next. So please go for it.
So there's a bill right now. They had a legislative hearing on, I think it was Wednesday of this week, Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, at the Senate Elections Committee. And I want to applaud, those that called in to SB, you know, Senate Bill 1480, which would allow for qualified or voters with disabilities to be able to electronically return their ballot. And I think in large part because of both the membership of the California Council of the Blind, but also American Council of Blind Students, ACBS. There are three students, and I don't know if any of them are on the call here today or not, but they actually got up to Sacramento and they were able to testify in person on the importance, not just as voters who happen to be blind, but as younger voters, right? The kind of the next generation voters wanting next generation voting technologies. You know, I happen to have a 19-year-old as a freshman in college, and you ask him to go get a stamp and go return a ballot, you know, it's a totally different language for him, much less if you happen to be blind. So because of, I think, this strong advocacy from your membership and then from ACBS and those students showing up, that committee hearing passed 4-1. And so I think that was a really significant step. Of course, now it has to go through the process and you're going to get a lot of naysayers out there. I can promise you that. But I think it's a significant step that it passed out of committee 4-1. And the ultimate ambition being that if this bill passes SB 1480, then all of you on the call here will be able to be at home, you know, get on your device. And as we just got done doing an election up in Massachusetts, we had a number of voters that, you know, from Boston and Cambridge and other places. And they wrote some really nice notes in the last week or so and said that, you know, they're able to vote in 4 or 5 minutes from their couch versus having to kind of navigate the process of going to the polling place, which again, we still encourage, you know, we're not trying to take away that at all, but it was nice for them at least to have that option. And if 1480 passes in California, you all will have the same option.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great news.
If we have a couple more minutes, I'll just talk about the process here legislatively. SB 1480, as I mentioned, passed out of committee. It now goes to another committee and then it has to go to the assembly and it comes together and it's going to be a vote. But it's going to be a battle. I can promise you that. There are activists and academics who don't want anything but a paper ballot to be in place in California and around the country. And their concerns are around security. So I don't think that they are bad faith actors. I think they just don't believe that it should be done and everything should be done on paper, primarily because of security concerns. And they will be represented by organizations and leading academics. And I want to provide you the information. So if you get involved in the dialogue, these are some important things to keep in mind. One of which is electronic return, which is really what we're talking about here, which is more controversial, is already allowed in the state of California. It's being done right now by our men and women serving abroad, traveling or living abroad. And the only way in California right now that you can electronically return a ballot is by a fax machine. So if the concerns are around security, all the leading academics most recent academic literature is in agreement that a fax machine is a pretty outdated method of voting or returning, you know, a ballot. So electronic return already exists. SB 14 simply allows the Secretary of State to review and potentially certify a system to extend the same right that our overseas and military voters have today. It's to extend and amend that law to allow for voters with disabilities to do it in a way that's certified. Currently, it's reserved for military and overseas using a non-certified fax machine. So really, this is a security improvement. And I think it's really important to have that narrative out there that we are doubling down on security in California through SB 1480, because right now it's what's allowed is 1970s, 1980s technology to return a ballot. The cloud, and again, I'm going to stop here shortly because I don't want to bore you with too many of the details, but this cloud environment, we happen to partner with Amazon, AWS, for the cloud. And it's the same cloud environment that was just recently secured or approved, I should say, by the National Security Agency, been approved by the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, all the major national security agencies. The only difference is that instead of the nuclear codes or the list of spies or whatever it is that National Security Agency kind of hosts, we're securing the ballot. So from a security standpoint, this continues to be vetted by independent security labs. We went through the Homeland Security review and other federal reviews. So from a security standpoint, and this is, you know, from not just me, but the University of Washington, cybersecurity experts from the University of Maryland will say that using this portal is a more secure method than what's currently existing in California today, which is a fax machine. So that, I think, will help refute some of the challenges that are going to be coming out. And one final thing, I have asked, and I will continue to ask those that are in opposition to having an accessible option to vote at home for voters with disabilities, to please come and review our technology, look at our code, ask any questions that you want. But as of now, to date, those that are in opposition have never actually seen how the system works. You know, we can get the leading security members at AWS, as well as us and other cybersecurity experts, and explain exactly how the system works. There's always a paper ballot that ends up being tabulated. It eliminates ballot duplication. There's a lot of reasons why this could be more secure. Unfortunately, those that are opposed or antagonistic toward this legislation have never actually seen what it is that they're opposed to. So I'll just leave you with that. And, you know, if it comes up in the conversation, because it's going to be, you are California, and how California goes, typically so goes the rest of the country. So they're going to do everything they can to stop this legislation. So whatever we can do to help support you all with information or resources to be able to be informed about this as it goes through the sausage grinding, kind of the sausage making process of legislation, we'd be happy to support.
And Bob Acosta has a question.
I'm a taxpayer. I'm sorry. One, how can we get on your mailing list? Although my president, Steve Bauer, does alert us. And you're saying that LA County will have the link to get me to my ballot, and hopefully it'll be the electronic return, but maybe it's too quick. The legislature will, you know, how it is. And the other thing, question I had is the obvious one. Doesn't ADA kick in here at all? Thank you.
Yeah, it's just yesterday. Robert, or is it Bob or Robert?
Bob. My friends call me Bob. You guys are my friends.
Well, thank you. We were just talking to one of your members in another state who happens to be a Harvard-trained attorney. And our suggestion was that somebody from ACB should simply ask the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division. There's an elections group under the Civil Rights Division at the DOJ. Whether absentee or vote by mail falls under the ADA. And I'm not sure that particular question has been asked of the Department of Justice, because if it does, then it opens up it makes it a lot easier to get electronic return done, because now it falls under the ADA. So hopefully somebody at some point will ask.
And may I ask, will you be at the National American Council of the Blind Convention? I think you were last year. Democracy.
Yeah, Charlie, I don't know if you can hear us or not.
I hope so.
Hello.
There you are. We can hear Charlie now. Great.
You can hear me now. Thank you.
We need you.
Yes. Yeah, we're all in. We are all in. We're going to meet your needs. And we want to make sure that, you know, we work with you in close proximity. So for sure.
And so the national conference, I think it's either virtual for us or it could be in person. I'm not.
The national is going to be a hybrid. So there'll be some component on Zoom and most of it will be both available to in person and on Zoom.
And can you get to Steve or somebody to get us on your mailing list if there is one or a newsletter or whatever?
The average
humble voter here.
Great.
Well, great. This has been a lot of really good information. And I'm glad we have you on tape, as it were, with that synopsis for the security issues, because that could be really helpful in the, you know, months to come as this, as you say, goes through the sausage making process. And the fact that it, you know, did not pass out of committee unanimously, it was went 4-1 vote. I think, you know, we've got our work cut out for us. But, you know, thank you for standing there with us. I think some good things will come out of this.
Well, I'll just say, as it's been an honor to be able to work with many of your members and also see the results and hear the results when a technology like this is deployed. And again, we're not the only, we happen to have, you know, 90%+ of the market, but there are going to be emerging other innovations coming out, I am sure. And so, which is a good thing, right? You want to continue to innovate and enhance accessibility, but be able to hear back from actual voters that were saying that, you know, they could just be on their home device that they're comfortable with. And in a handful of minutes, you know, fully participate in the democratic process and be fully enfranchised privately and independently. It just keeps us going as well, right? Our team needs to hear that and keep us kind of motivated and working hard late at night, trying to, you know, develop these technologies. So, you know, that virtuous kind of cycle of hearing back from you all keeps us going as well. So thank you so much for this opportunity to hear back from you all today.
Alrighty, thank you. Sarah, do you have anything further?
No, this was great. Thank you to both of you, Brian and Charlie, and thank you to everybody for jumping on a Saturday morning. And we hope to see everybody later today. We have, of course, our candidates forum at 3 p.m., followed by IDC this evening from 6 to 8. So hang out. And thank you, Brian. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And one final thought, you know, if you have a chance to reach out to your local legislative representative about SB 1480 and voice your support, that could go a long, long way.
Definitely. And I'm sure Jeff and Regina will keep us posted as to when the, you know, we need to do that. So thank you. Okay, right. Everybody. We'll end this for now. And thanks to everybody for being here this morning. And we'll be back, as Sarah said, this afternoon, 3 o'clock for the candidates forum.
Thank you.